with the third pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota
State. Wide stretch run to Mostert, gets the edge left, cuts back inside. Raheem Mostert has four rushing touchdowns and the most yards rushing in a playoff game.
Listening to the Fourth and Gold podcast with Javi and Fern.
Try to do what's right and not be affected by any of that. And it's just been interesting to watch, and sure glad that it's over. I'm glad that we got our guy. I'm glad we feel so good about it. And I'm just pumped to get him here.
Welcome to the Fourth and Gold podcast. We are back. We are back with not Fernando tonight, but we'll be back tomorrow night with Fernando. Filling in for him, as you all know him, my guy Jason Aponte. Jason, what is going on, buddy?
How are you, Javi? What a win. What a great win to break down. And for right now, with everything that's going on, you know, and how things looked early in the season, meaningful football in December with a possible playoff berth, you probably couldn't ask for anything more at this point.
Feels great, baby.
That's it.
Yeah, meaningful football in December. That is something that the 49ers and 49ers fans have yet to have on a consistent basis, you know, since the Steve Young, Jeff Garcia years, right? It's been a while. So for them to be 7-6 at this point in the year, considering how they started at 2-5,
right?
They've got their shit together. So shout out to the 49ers. Niners did come out with the victory 26-23 on Sunday in overtime against the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a late night podcast. Apologies for missing last week. My schedule has been hectic. Jason, you know my work life is pretty wild right now. But shout out to you guys in the comments for tuning in late this evening. I wanted to get this out because I owed you guys some hats. It is Victory Monday. A Victory Monday podcast, or just a Victory Week podcast, gets you into the hat giveaway. As long as you are tuning in every week and using the promo code or just the hashtag, this week's hashtag is The Catch. Make sure you at Fourth and Gold Podcast and at Residency in your Twitter post or your Instagram post, and we will enter you into the drawing and have the winners by Saturday. Once the winners are announced, I will get with Zach of Residency, and he will get those shipped out to you. While you're here, make sure you subscribe, rate, review to the podcast on all podcast platforms, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Once we get to 1,000 subscribers, like I said before, I will be sending out a Kittle jersey to one lucky winner on that. So I don't buy cheap shit. We get you taken care of. Jason, Niners won 26-23. This game should not have been this close. How do you give up 14 points in the fourth quarter of this game?
It's almost like Zach Taylor was like, hey man, maybe if we attack the young rookie, you know, maybe if we throw the ball a little bit more, maybe that might be a little bit successful. And I'm glad that he figured it out later than that, because, you know, for everything that the 49ers defense had done, and I sent out a tweet saying, man, this has been an incredible performance from the defense. And when you consider all the injuries, you know, down to your fifth and sixth cornerback, you know, Aziz being injured, unfortunately, Fred getting a little dinged up. I thought for all intents and purposes, the 49ers defense led by DeMeco Ryans was great in this game. And Nick Bosa is incredible. And but it felt like the Bengals put it on a little too late in the game.
Yeah.
What they should have been doing.
They figured it out too late, right? Like, like, hey, throw at number 20. Throw at 20 and good things will happen. Throw at 29. Oh, look, another thing will happen. I just got done recording with Leo Luna of Niners Nation. We just got done doing the Oh Hey There podcast. And we were talking about it. Can someone explain to me why we have this safety rotation the way we have it with Hufanga and Tart? And this is not to slander Hufanga. I like Hufanga. I think Hufanga is going to be a good player, right? But what I don't like is him in coverage in high pressure situations. That fourth quarter, I didn't want to see him out there on those high safety single looks. I want him in the box because I think he's a great run defender. I think he's a very good open field tackler. I think you keep him within that 10 yards of the quarterback because he's going to excel right there. Am I off?
Yeah. No, you're not. I mean, you know, I'm very pro Tart, and I think that we understand that we want rookies to develop, and rookies need to work on things that they are not necessarily either one, comfortable with, or two, you know, efficient at right now. But now's not the time to be messing around with that at this point, especially when you have someone who is as safe as Tart there, right? You can have Hufanga on the field, just put him in positions to win, closer to the box where he can play with instinct. Doesn't have to diagnose coverages. Got caught in a scramble drill. And you know what? Not many people can cover for that long, right? Yeah. But especially somebody who is really just learning all of these new things, and he's putting it on tape. You can bet your ass everybody else is seeing it. And if they see him in that look, they're going to attack him. So, yeah, I mean, for now, you want to see rookies develop. They develop with reps, right? Shocking. But but you really can't do it at the expense right now of giving up plays. And that's why Jalen Moore is not on the field right now. That's why Tom Compton took over. It's because you can't take those bumps and bruises, because right now you're a playoff team as it stands. You can't have it. Can't have it right now. You know, Ambry Thomas had to play because everybody else is injured. But you can't have these mistakes. And that's not to pile on Hufanga. He can develop. A lot of that's going to come with understanding coverages. I mean, understanding concepts. Understanding what teams are going to try to do to attack you. And that'll come with film. That'll come with time and reps. But it can't happen right now on the fly. It just can't, especially with this team contending for a playoff spot.
Yeah, the Niners are in this tough spot. They are trying to win while also trying to develop, you know, their young guys. And I can see why Kyle is so hesitant to play his rookies, but now they're forced into action, right? And also, and with that, with Ambry and Hufanga's been playing all season, but with Ambry, they never really gave him a shot to, you know, to get those reps against lesser competition. So that he's not benefiting from that. And now in practice, you know, how many reps he's really getting in practice, right? How many reps is he really going to get? So they're just stuck in this weird spot of, look, we have a really good roster when we're healthy. We can win 8, 9, 10, 11 games, but our margin for error is zero. So putting a rookie out there increases increases the possibility of an error. And we saw that, right? We saw that with the Hufanga thing. And that's not all on Hufanga, but with Ambry, you know, the two penalties, takes away a sack and an interception, and then getting beat late, or getting beat for that touchdown to Ja'Marr Chase. Those things can come back to bite you had the Bengals not played so shitty in the first half, right? So those things, it's a compounding thing. So hopefully in 2022 and in this coming offseason, Ambry can develop and get better and put on the weight that he needs to put on, get the muscle that he needs to put on. Because outside of that, watching the tape, I don't think he was terrible. I don't think he made too many big mistakes outside of those four, but they were kind of big, right? Like, that's a sack on third down, the interception, Jimmy Ward, and then, of course, the touchdown. But I'm not trying to kill the guy. He is still a rookie. And he's a rookie corner. Corner transition is very, very hard. I was listening to Kroc earlier today. He was explaining all that stuff pretty concisely and pretty clearly. Like, you just got to let these guys develop. No, so picking a guy in the round one isn't going to fix your cornerback problem. You got to develop these guys and let this guy get his reps and take his lumps. But right now, it's not a time for him to take his lumps because they are in the middle of a wild card race and potentially the fifth seed.
Yeah, and the other thing is the hands to the face, that's just bad technique. But he wasn't pressing. He was rerouting in cover two. Like, he's rerouting the receiver in cover two to pass him off to another defender. That's not press, right? Like, he wasn't trying to press. Yeah, sure, bad technique. You hit him in the face, but people are like, oh, look, he's trying to jam him. And no, he's just trying to redirect the guy, right? Just trying to – and that's something, again, that'll come with reps. But, again, there is a reason that it literally took – you know, the unfortunate circumstances about what happened with Dante Johnson. And obviously that's something that's bigger than football, right? Football becomes far in the rearview mirror when it comes to losing your mother to you know.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Football's not that important and just at all. So there's that. But
yeah.
with the Dons, I couldn't imagine losing a parent.
Right. I wouldn't want to do anything. Forget football, forget anything, my job, anything. I wouldn't even be able to do anything. So, I mean, I completely understand that. And I don't think anybody really is giving him any grief for that. But what I mean is that it literally took these circumstances of Verrett, Mosley, you know, Dansby Johnson has those circumstances happen for Ambry Thomas to hit the field, you know. And obviously Lenore had some good moments early in the season. They didn't really test him too much. And then as it got on and he, you know, starts to be tested a little bit more, understands that some places you need to be, you're just out of position, they felt that there was the move to go to Ambry Thomas. So I think that is telling that in week 14, it took all of these things to happen for Ambry Thomas to get on the field. Doesn't mean that he can't develop, but it's clearly how this coaching staff views him. And he'll have to either develop on the fly now, or he's just going to have to figure it out with a full offseason next year and going into the regular season.
Yeah, Jamal in the comments here, these guys are hitting the field out of necessity. They need them to get on the field and play meaningful snaps in a wild card race and a potentially a fifth seed chase. One guy carried. Well, I shouldn't say carried, but one guy has been exceptional for 2 weeks straight. George Kittle, the people's tight end, 22 receptions, 332 yards, and 3 touchdowns combined in 2 weeks. George, I can curse on this podcast. I can't curse on the Niner Nation podcast. George Kittle just gave a big fuck you to the tight end competition in the NFL. He is 57 receptions, 757 yards, and 6 touchdowns in 10 games. In 10 games. I want to get to some, you know how we do the show. I want to get to some comments from Joe Staley and the guys at NBC Sports. Here's Joe Staley and the guy and the crew.
This offense on his back, and he carried this team today, Takiya.
No, he did, and we talked about it in the pregame show. He's good. You can see the final result of what
he's
the yards. Listen, no, I'm saying
the man's great.
His greatness, but I'm just saying.
Joe's fired up.
We see that, and we say, all right, he had a big game. But what he brings to the table, the attitude, relentless, the tenacity, that's contagious to all of the guys. And I think it gave Jimmy G confidence the last drive of the games. He went to him 2 times. Yeah. The announcer said, it's 3rd and 5. If you're a DB, you got to know where Kittle was at before the snap. And they still couldn't stop it. It goes to show you how important he is to this football team.
And it wasn't just what we saw last week in the play action stuff, the yards after catch. He was running routes down the field, especially in the second half in overtime, and making big catches. And to your point, the whole team feeds off of his energy.
So one thing, or 2 things, actually 3 things. Dante Whitner, drip god.
Yeah.
Just like, that's a really nice green suit. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see the video. And 3, why is Takeo Spike got like a 45-inch neck still? He's like 50 years old, bro.
I was going to literally comment on that. And also the fact that he is super conflicted. Bengals legend, 49ers legend.
Yeah.
How did this man figure this one out? I understand you work for NBC and that's the 49ers side, but you can't tell me that man is not conflicted based on the fact that those are the 2 franchises, basically, right? And he played for the Bills also.
Yeah. It's crazy. But George Kittle, what does this say about George Kittle? And I guess maybe just his offense, right? Like, Deebo Samuel carried you, you know, 8-9 weeks, he got banged up, and now here comes George. Can Ayuk do the rest of the way? Like, they have so many weapons. If Jimmy could just be 5% better, just 5%, we're on to something. But George, how valuable is George Kittle in the passing game? I don't even care about the blocking, because that's not – the blocking is really good, but that's not the best thing he does. The best thing he does is route running and catch the fucking football.
Yeah. Imagine having George Kittle as your fallback option. In terms of Deebo Samuel is your focal point, right? You are force feeding him the ball. You manufacture touches for him. And George Kittle falls a little bit in by the wayside, right? And you kind of just are fine with it because Deebo makes play after play after play, right? But now Deebo Samuel has 1 target the last few weeks. He's a running back right now at this point. It's really, really cool. Right, out of necessity, right? Because that's just where we are right now at this point. Even when Elijah Mitchell was healthy, he was the second running back. It's just really funny that All right. Well, what do we do? Well, maybe we'll just throw the ball to George Kittle a bunch. Maybe we'll get him open and get him involved. And it's like, you know, you can do all of those things at the same time in one game also, right? Like, you can do that many times the same way. But right now, he is literally carrying this offense on his back. And it's really nice to have George Kittle as a fallback option. And again, to Tequila's point, you know exactly where Kittle is. You know exactly what Jimmy wants to do with the ball. Couldn't stop it. That throw on the slide.
Oh, dude.
I'm sure we're going to talk about the quarterback, right? Because, you know.
We have to.
Yeah, we'll get to that, right? But, man, money time. You need a big play. Fallback option. A guy who should always be featured. But, you know, obviously, just the way that things were going, it was Deebo Samuel. I don't know what else you can say. I think that he is the best in the game, and he's showing you right now. And I don't know what else to say, man. I'm football is better, more fun, and not just for 49er fans, when George Kittle's playing football well. Just a fact. And, man, you know, for him to have that calf flare up a little bit, man. Literally comment and say that the field felt like cement.
Ugh.
I mean, fought through it, man. Hurt. Fought through it.
Yeah, it's got to hurt.
Yep.
George Kittle is a stud. 15 targets, 13 receptions, 151 yards, and a touchdown. Magnificent. Absolutely stud to end the game and do what he did for the 49ers this week. Trying to find the play. Here we go. This should be the George Kittle play. The one where he makes the fingertip catch here. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, this is this dig, you know, this deep out. If Jimmy hits him in stride, he probably has a walk-in touchdown here. It looks better from this angle, too, on how he catches the ball. But George had made play after play on third down, second and longs. You know, that third and five, like you said, where he's sliding, absolutely amazing. Got to have it catch, got to have it throw. Jimmy and George connected, and that's what you pay this guy for. To play big in big-time moments, high-pressure situations, third and 10, 20 seconds left in the fourth quarter. We'll get to the quarterback right now. Jimmy Garoppolo, for all the shit you, me, anyone else who has a platform has given Jimmy Garoppolo, we have to also give him his flowers at the same time because we do that too. Too many people focus on the negative stuff we say and kind of zone out the positive that we've said about the guy. So I'm going to say it now. Jimmy Garoppolo won this game twice on Sunday. He won it two times. Robbie Gould, your favorite player, missed a field goal. You would have won 23-20. But no. Jimmy Garoppolo has to drive his team down the field twice. He gets him in the field goal range with about 4 or 5 seconds left in the game. All you got to do, Robbie, is hit this 47-yarder. Can we hit a 47-yarder, please? Couldn't do it. And I know you're going to go off on Robbie.
No, I'm not.
You should. You can.
I don't care. I have.
Okay. And then the overtime drive, 6 for 6 for 72 yards from Jimmy Garoppolo. Did Jimmy Garoppolo have stints in this game where he played bad? Yes. But when it mattered, he got it done. He did his job. I don't care about all the yak. He still got to deliver the ball with some pressure in his face. He made some really big time throws. He had the Juwan Jennings throw, which was an absolute, to me, I mean, I wouldn't call it a dime, but it's a big time throw. Back shoulder fade, only where Jennings can get it.
Slot fade.
That's a big time throw when you need it. And he got it done. Jimmy Garoppolo deserves his flowers for this performance late in the game. He stepped up when they needed it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, you know, and I can't remember a quarterback. Like I've made this comparison on my own show and on a few other people's shows, but Russell Wilson is like one of the only other quarterbacks that I can remember that plays poorly for 3.5 quarters. But it's like once they get the ball in their hands at the end, you kind of just feel like, okay, here it comes. Right. And he's made a living doing that. And that's kind of what Jimmy Garoppolo is. And that's why you labeled this episode Rollercoaster, man.
Yep.
It's like, this is the Jimmy G experience. But to his credit, man, he did win this game two times.
Yeah.
Against all odds, on the road.
Yeah.
In a hostile territory.
I give him that, too. He played through whatever he was lingering because he came up limping. He came up limping in the game, too. We all saw it.
Right.
So.
But, yeah, I mean, look, that throw, that's probably one of the best throws he's ever made. Outside the hash, slot fade, beautiful throw. And just, again, you know, and then here's the other thing, too. Packers game, whatever. Say what you want about where this team was, you know, going into that last drive. He let him down the field, scored a touchdown. Defense didn't hold it up. Seattle game, say what you want. Took the ball down the field, got it knocked down on fourth and goal. Got them in position. There's something about, and I don't remember a quarterback who can have the lows in games that he has. And then if he is given a chance at the end of the game, somehow finds a way to get it done. And I don't want to hear anything about a dropped interception.
Yeah, it could knock that off.
I don't want to hear anything about fumble punts because here's what I'll tell you. If you're going to use that interception or those fumbled punts to downplay this 49er victory, then use the same way that the 49ers fumbled punts and dropped interceptions to downplay 49ers losses. The same exact way. Keep that same energy. It can't be one way and it can't be the other. The problem is that the discussion around Jimmy Garoppolo has gotten too extreme on both ends.
Yep. There's no middle anymore.
On both ends. The people who hold Jimmy Garoppolo up in this category that he probably shouldn't be in, and the people who think that Jimmy Garoppolo is the absolute worst. Neither of them are right. And there has to be black and white. It's not black and white. It has to be a gray area, right? You have to be able to fill that in, color it in, context. And for all those things, it doesn't matter how this game got won. The 49ers won, and Jimmy Garoppolo did it the last two drives. That's it. I don't know what else needs to be said. Why are you focusing on these other things? Oh, well, if that pick six happens, the game's over. Yeah, if I had wheels, I'd be a wagon. That's not what happened. That's not what happened, man. So that's it.
On tape, it looked pretty bad.
Of course, the decision looks bad, but that's Jimmy.
Yeah.
Nobody should be surprised of other things. Had somebody on our podcast say, I'm just disappointed that he's not improving. It's year eight. This is Jimmy Garoppolo.
He hasn't improved.
When you say
it hasn't gotten worse.
Right. When you say he's hit his ceiling and he's maxed out. This is the guy.
This is what it is.
The guy, right? Yeah. Like, and that's why you shouldn't be upset, shocked, disappointed. It is what it is. But for right now, those last two drives were masterful, man. That's exactly what you need. That's exactly what you need, man. And they needed it right there at that time, and he got it done. Yeah. You have to give him credit, man. That's it.
He won the game. This is where the QB wins argument comes in. He was responsible for that win. Mm-hmm. Right. He had played a really big part in that win. So I will do that. To the point of too far left or too far right with the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, I will say that I was too far pro Jimmy in 2019 and then too far out on Jimmy in 2020. Mm-hmm. Then you find the happy medium when you start to think about it. You're like, all right, let's come back here. Let's get back to where he is. Like at one point I said, you know, he's probably a top 12 guy. Last year I was like, he's bottom third. Right now I'm like, he's 16 to 18, which is kind of where he should have been the entire time. But emotions run high. You start looking at other things. But at the same time, I'm also listening to what the franchise is telling me. The franchise is like, we're going to go do this guy. We're going to go look at this guy. We're going to go look at that guy. We're going to get this guy. We're going to get that guy. Which brings me to the Peter King article.
Ugh.
We have to talk about it because it's the Niners. It's the quarterback situation where there is a reality or a thought that he could be back next year. I don't buy it. I don't believe it for one second. But Peter King states that the 49ers have been internally impressed by Jimmy G and have not solidified their plans at quarterback for 2022. Shout out to my guy, Jordan Elliott of Niners Nation and of 49ers Goldmine. He tweets it. This is getting absolutely comical at this point. They've had him in the building for 4+ years, have dozens of games worth of film to fall back on, and they watch him in practice every day. But now they are all of a sudden internally impressed by his play. To me, this entire Peter King thing, Jimmy Garoppolo back in 2022 thing, is a cry for help by the 49ers. Meaning, hey, media guys, John Lynch, media guy, Peter King, media guy, help me try to sell this quarterback to the rest of the league. When I will say this, Tim Kawakami had a really good tweet a few weeks ago about, you know, about trade value, right? The whole Wiseman thing in Golden State, you know, maybe they're trying to boost his trade value with the media guys. Kawakami's like, no, other GMs know the value of this player. It does not matter what me, you, Tim Kawakami, Larry Kruger, any of these guys say about the quarterback position. These GMs know the value of said quarterback, to the point of Ian Rapoport a few weeks ago going on KBR saying that the Niners most recently received a 3rd-round pick offer for Jimmy Garoppolo. He didn't say when that offer came into play. So 3rd-round pick is probably your highest point. Now, does it help the Niners that this draft class is absolutely ass cheeks at quarterback? Yes. Does it help that Russell Wilson wants out, Aaron Rodgers wants out, Derek Carr is probably on the move? What happens with Kirk Cousins once Zimmer gets fired? There's going to be a QB shuffle in the NFL. Where? This is, maybe you can get a little bit more. Maybe you get a 3 and another 3, a 3 and a 4, right? Maybe you get something more, but I'm not buying a word that Peter King is saying here. You don't invest what you did in Trey Lance to just bring back another the guy on a lame duck season again at the end of his contract. Doesn't make any sense.
Of course it doesn't. And again, I don't know what's going on or what game this is or who's leaking what, but come on, man. I mean, the writing's been on the wall because, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but this front office has flirted with every two-armed, able-bodied quarterback under the sun for the past 2 off seasons. But Jimmy's your guy. I just don't understand it. I really don't. And then when you exhaust all of those veteran quarterbacks, talked about Andy Dalton, talked about Teddy Bridgewater, obviously Stafford, obviously Brady, all these other guys, you know, fucking Joe Namath, Joe Montana, yeah, everyone, yeah. Every quarterback, right, that's ever played the game, right? Every single one was on the table in the offseason. I mean, you land on moving up to 3 for Trey Lance. None of this makes sense. And I'll take it a step further. If there's even a hint of truth to this, right? This whole bring Jimmy back. This is absolute fucking malpractice then.
Yeah.
That's it. And that should be more of a signal. That's what I would be more afraid of than anything. That would be is what I'm going to be afraid of. Is that even if there is somebody who is breathing this and means it in any sort of meaningful way, and this is something that you are actually even considering or have even brought up in a meeting, I'm going to be pissed. That makes no sense. You're like, this is ridiculous. It makes no sense at all. So that's another reason. Like, it's just, it's whatever, man. It's the media thing. I'm over it, man. After this whole, because Peter King was banging that Mac Jones drum too.
I wonder where that came from.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm done with all this, like, this media stuff. Who's saying what? A lot of people feel burned by being given that Mac Jones stuff and then them turning around and not doing it. So who knows, like, what's the real thing, you know? So whatever. Peter King's tapped in. Everybody's going to get all crazy about it. I haven't lost an ounce of sleep of it. I don't really sleep anyway, but I haven't lost an ounce of sleep of it because it doesn't make sense. And again, if I'm wrong and anybody is even breathing this in any other way, then I'm even more pissed that anybody's even thinking about bringing him back next year more than I am who's leaking it or anything like that, if somebody actually is saying that in the building, because that's fucking terrible.
And I think the other part is, what does that say about Trey?
Yeah, if that's true, which I don't believe it is.
Yeah, I don't believe it is either. So with the Jimmy stuff, I'm not buying it. It is what it is at this point with them. Couple more things before we get out of here. We're going to keep this one short because it is late. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for keeping you guys up late so late, but I wanted to get this out because of the residency stuff. Like I said, make sure you are using the hashtag the catch and tagging at Fourth and Goal Podcast and at residency on the Fourth and Goal Podcast Twitter site. And we will get that hat out to you guys for the winners, three winners this week. DJ Jones, Aziz Al-Shaair, have to be in the top four of most important guys to bring back. Yes?
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. 100%. No questions asked. And if the 49ers were smart, you get one of these extensions done now, especially with Aziz, now that he's a restricted free agent. You work on it now, and you try to move some money around. So, however, Lincoln Tomlinson is up there. Somebody you definitely got to bring back. So work it out. Get it done right now. Restricted free agent. Do it.
I think we need to start the hashtag pay Lakin, pay Aziz.
Yep. I mean, just get it done now while you can. Obviously, we just found out the cap's about to explode again. And I know a really good way to clear a bunch of money. It's kind of radical.
It's looking fucking good, man.
It's kind of radical. It's a little bit of a out there thing. But yeah, there's a way to... there's a way to clear out some money on top of the big money that's about to be added on with the salary cap, because business is booming in the NFL.
Bro, it's crazy because the cap increase is $26 million. Jimmy's salary in 2022 is $26 million. They're like, the NFL's daring the Niners to keep this guy. Mm-hmm. Bet you won't. That's what they're saying. I bet you won't do it. Man, who knows? Aziz, absolute monster. Before he got injured, he had eight tackles. The man was everywhere. He had a sack, eight tackles, a couple tackles for loss. Has he been the best linebacker on the team this season?
Yes. No questions asked. Sorry. I love you, Fred. I love you, Fred. But yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. And if Jimmy Garoppolo converts in Seattle, Aziz Al-Shaair has his Drake Greenlaw moment. And everybody stops talking about that.
That was huge.
Right. And everybody stops talking about that. Yes. Aziz Al-Shaair has been the best linebacker on this team, which shouldn't make you mad, 49ers fans.
It's a good problem.
Yeah, it's an amazing problem, actually. An amazing problem. And nor do I expect that to continue next season. Don't expect it to continue. But yes. Yes. He has been.
Yeah. So I would give Aziz a very nice contract. You know, this is with the Aziz thing. Had Aziz not tore his ACL, he would not have been an undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. He would have been a top 150 pick, top 100 pick, you know, third round guy. Turn in the comments, Javi and Jason, are we able to restructure Armstead's deal? I mean, we can restructure anybody's deal. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of, do you want to pay Armstead more money, right? Guaranteed money.
Right.
I don't know if the Niners want to do that. They do seem to like him quite a bit. So I would say yes, they would probably try to do that. I think you can restructure Fred's money too if they needed to. And Fred's money, that one's pretty friendly.
And Fred's not going anywhere, so.
No, he's staying. So they can just, you know, he's staying. He's a Niner for life. He's a 10-year Niner. Yeah. Jimmy Ward needs to be extended.
Yep.
As well. Couple questions before we get out of here. Like I said, I didn't want to keep Jason here too long. It's right almost 1 o'clock on the East Coast.
Nah, we vibing though. Let's go. In the beginning, like when I was laying there watching the game, I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But once you start talking, and that's it, we're good. Let's move.
Okay. Colin in the comments, what do you think happens with Mostert? This is actually a legit question, because Elijah Mitchell has been dinged up all season. And I think Haberman Middlecoff brought it up quite a bit. This running back room is always hurt. Is this injury bug with the running backs the style of play from the 49ers at the running back position and what they're asked to do? Or is this the Niners not doing their due diligence on an injury history? Because I don't believe Mitchell had an injury history in college.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I don't know if it's that, but that's why I've been telling people about Elijah Mitchell when they're like, oh, bell cow, this isn't what Kyle wants to do.
No, he doesn't want it. He doesn't want a bell cow. He doesn't.
Right. Never did. And, you know, it's out of necessity right now. Fortunately, Jeff Wilson hasn't returned from the injury in the way that we thought he would.
That's he did why you see on Sunday, though.
He had some nice four yards of carry. Tom Compton, shout out to you. You open up some holes. I got to give you credit where credit's due.
Flowers, baby.
He's looking fucking yeah. good, man.
Yeah, but Deebo Samuel was the backup running back, right? That's where you're at right now. In terms of Mostert, someone will probably want to pay him, but Jason Verrett turned down a big bag to come back because he loved the culture. He loved the regime. He loved, you know, he said something about the training facility or something like that, the rehab facility, which, you know, that's not really what you should be focused on. But you see Raheem Mostert tweeting about the team still. You see him very much involved still. Like, I know social media doesn't mean anything, but it seems like he wants to be there, right? So I could see a world where Raheem Mostert is brought back for nothing. And I think that his punch is missing in this offense. I think a lot of what Kyle Shanahan wanted to do this season centered around Raheem Mostert.
It had
and that home run hitting ability. Because Deebo Samuel, I love what they're doing with him, right? Because they're using him out of necessity there. But it's usually one big run. Everything else is like 1 or 2 yards. But it's that home run hitting ability that is missing right now. And, yeah. you know, Mitchell gave it for a little bit. Mitchell was great, you know, this year. But you definitely can't give him the ball 27 to 30 times. It's just not how you
it's
do
not
it.
Not smart, no.
No.
And so, I think Bill Belichick has, like, the right system with this. Because he always has 3 or 4 running backs. And, you know, 1 week it's going to be James White, right? James, this is a couple years ago, but it's James White. He'll do this. He'll carry this many times. All right.
Pass catching back.
Yeah, we're going to lower his reps the following week. And Sonny Michel would take over those reps. He would rotate those things to keep guys fresh. He had the right idea with this. Because you can't run these guys into the ground anymore. Long gone are the days of Frank Gore, Adrian Peterson, you know, the Marshall Faulks of the world. Like, you don't have that anymore with these guys. Look at Christian McCaffrey. He can't stay healthy anymore.
And they paid him again.
Right? Alvin Kamara missed all that time. You know, the whole notion running backs don't matter. There's some truth to it. But at the same time, you have to figure out how to keep these guys on the field. And Elijah Mitchell is a big part of why the Niners have been successful this season. But you also have to make sure you can kind of, hey, maybe don't give him 27 carries back-to-back weeks.
Right.
Right? Maybe say, you know what, Elijah, we're going to give you 20 this week and 10 the following week.
Right.
Right? And then 20 and then 10. And then, you know, we can use Jeff Wilson, or if Mostert was healthy, we'll do that. But we all saw it in 2019. I think it was an even distribution of snaps. It was like 137 right. for Coleman, 137 for Mostert. And then you got like another 50 from Breida. And Jeff Wilson gave you 50. Like, you want this committee to keep your guys fresh, because by the time the playoffs come, you saw what happened with Mostert. We saw it, right? We saw it with Tevin Coleman too. So you want to have this rotation of guys. You don't want to just, hey, we're going to have this bell cow running back, because they don't last anymore. Kareem Hunt injured. Nick Chubb got banged up. Saquon Barkley banged up. McCaffrey Dalvin. Banged up. Dalvin Cook banged up. Like, you have to have a stable of guys. So, yes, I would recommend the Niners draft another running back late or find an undrafted guy, because you can find those guys all the time, and bring Mostert back. I'd bring Mostert back on the cheap.
Yeah.
Because if he's going to recover, he is still – I mean, how much slower is he really going to get?
No.
Well, he ran like a 4.3.
Right.
Is he going to – okay, oh, he's a 4.5 now? Oh,
right.
He has that straight line vision. He knows it's one cut downhill. Yep. So, yeah, I would bring him back. The running back room is a really unique situation with the 49ers. I think it's pretty crazy how they operate that. And I do give Middlecoff and Haberman a lot of credit for noticing, like, hey, maybe not toss the ball so much. You know, because Middlecoff and Haberman have been talking about this halfback toss. Like, it's just like so much contact. These guys get banged up big time. So it's just an interesting situation. With the safety thing with Tard, Hufanga, Moore, Ward, would it be smart for the Niners to look at drafting a safety or paying a safety?
Probably drafting, but it seems like they want to get Hufanga on the field. So next year is going to be his show.
Yeah.
And you think so? I love Tart, but I think that this is just where they're leaning at this point, right? Like, what has Tart done that has put you in a spot where you feel Hufanga needs to be taking those coverage snaps when you know that he's so reliable back there? They clearly want to get him on the field, man. Like, yeah. It's clear, right? Like, in one lane, they don't want to let guys get their reps. In another lane, they are forcing Hufanga into the lineup, jamming him in there, even in the face of a player who is better suited in coverage.
Yeah.
So I think they do. And I think that Tart does walk. And I think he should walk because he shouldn't have to compete right now for snaps because, unfortunately, Hufanga's not on his level. I know everybody likes how Hardy plays, and that's cool. Be excited for the rookie. But this isn't a team that's mathematically eliminated, and you can't mess around with those reps in the back end. That's it. So, you know, it's fine if that's what they want to do. He's got a lot to learn. Jimmy Ward is going to help a ton, but you can't leave him on a single high right now.
Yeah,
and that's something that worries the shit out of me anytime that I see it. Because you saw what happened with Minnesota. Minnesota saw it. Adam Thielen is running his route. Him and Kirk Cousins have that, you know, that connection where he stops his route and he cuts it back in the middle of the field because he's already floated too far. And the Cardinals picked on it, right? Mm-hmm. They ran that route with Christian Kirk over the middle of the field. If Hufanga backs up and he runs it underneath him and he makes that catch, fine. You run up and you make the tackle. What you can't do is put your foot in the ground and let him run past you. That's what happens. And everybody sees all that stuff. So I think it's next year that happens. But I just think it's funny that he's being jammed out there onto the field in the face of a player who has actually been much more solid across his career in terms of those big plays. It just doesn't happen. That's why people aren't so excited about Tart. Because he doesn't get interceptions or anything like that. It just doesn't happen. So, oh my God.
So, it would not be a Jason Aponte type show if without a punter question.
My God.
What are the odds the 49ers draft Mitch's replacement, the kid from San Diego State, in the fifth round? I don't even know who this kid is.
But two draft picks.
You never draft a punter or a kicker in any
round. And the fifth round is where the 49ers actually are good.
Yeah, like, can I use that fifth round pick on a tight end? Right? Can I use that fifth round pick on a running back or a linebacker? Or maybe a corner. Maybe they hit in the fifth round on a corner.
All right, look.
It's too late for this punter shit, though.
If you're gonna take a punter in the fourth round, he better be the greatest punter of all time, and you sign him to a lifetime deal. To draft another punter a few years later, just give me the bleach so I can drink it all, please. Goodness gracious, man. I'm so tired.
Yo, so, okay. Punters. I know we don't want everyone to talk about it. What happened to Mitch the last couple weeks?
I don't know. And now he doesn't even tackle, man. And you guys thought I was just being funny and it was a meme. 32-yard punts? I can get the guy at Walmart to do that. Why? Fourth-round pick. Why? I'm tired of everybody trolling me about kickers, man. I'm tired. You think it's funny? I don't laugh about this.
I mean, Robbie did miss the field goal to win the game.
I don't care. They won the game. They won the game, man. They won the game. $8 million cap hit for your – dead cap hit for your kicker if he gets cut next year. $8.5 million. Way to go, front office. Big brain moves only.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
He had a baby. He's tired. Okay. I mean, I'll give him that. I'll definitely give him that.
Yeah, we know that.
I'll definitely give him that because my daughter's 4 and I'm tired.
I have 2. Mine's 6 and 3. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And I worked a job all day.
I'll give him that. I'm going to get up off of Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch is fine. Is Robbie Gold living away from his family? If so, explains a lot. Robbie's been living away from his family for what? He's been here 5 years now? Mm-hmm. He's been doing this for 5 years. He lives in a hotel. Literally across the street from the team, from the stadium. So.
No, Mitch had a baby, Colin.
Yeah. Mitch Wisconsin had a baby.
Wisconsin had a baby, yeah.
recently.
But that's my thing. All right, it's less about the money, right? It's less about the money, right? Because I have to stop getting mad at the people who sign the checks, right? Because if somebody came to me and said, hey, I love your podcast, I'm going to pay you $25 million to do it, even though it's not worth it, what am I going to say? No, right? So yeah. I'm not mad at him for that. What I'm upset about is, if you really didn't want to be here at all, right? Why on earth did you try to convince this man? Just let him go to his family. Let him go to Chicago. Let him go back. We were in Chicago. We were joking around with people. Y'all want Robbie go back? Oh my God, we miss Robbie. Where is he? I was just saying, you ran him out of here with pitchforks. You, all of you Chicago people, you treated him like he was Frankenstein and you tried to get him up out of town. And now you want him back after the double doinks? Like, that's the thing, man. It's like, if he already wanted to go back, first of all, a kicker should never, ever be able to say the words, I'm holding out. Our front office is wilder to pay a kicker than giving pre- yet. No, not even that then, right? Let's just say, right? So then they get him to end his holdout. They convince him to stay or whatever because kickers are invaluable. And then last year he's banged up. They bring in Tristan Vizcaino, and he's like booming the ball through the uprights. And Robbie Gould's missed games the last 2 years as a kicker. How you get hurt as a kicker, don't ask me. And then you extend him and you raise his cap hit to $8.5 million dead cap hit to move away from him. He's 40 years old. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I really don't. Don't tell me that money doesn't matter.
It's a big deal. That's a big deal. $8.5 million is a mid-level corner.
Joey Sly was here for 3 weeks, 2 for 2 from 50. Robbie Gould is 5 for 12 from 50 since 2019. And now he's not even hitting the 40 yarders.
To win games.
And you guys think I just overreact? I mean, I probably do, but whatever.
Shout out to Robbie Gould though. You know, yeah, he's had a good career, but yeah, right now it's not good. You know, it's kind of the David Akers thing.
Yeah.
Right. He just didn't finish off great. You know, he had a great career, just didn't finish off great.
But that's the other thing too, to my point. Like, and we're talking way too much about this, but 1 year Akers literally made every single kick. Mm-hmm. Right. And then the next year, he's all over the place. And that's what I mean about the fluctuation in kicking and why it doesn't matter and why it's only Justin Tucker or anybody, and or just Justin Tucker or nobody, right? And then everybody else after Justin Tucker is just a guy. Because 1 year, you could literally make every single kick. The next year, you can't even hit like 75%. It's just weird like that. The only thing that is consistent is that Justin Tucker is – like when Justin Tucker misses – you get shocked. So.
Yeah.
No.
It's wild. Yeah. He said Jamal in the comments, if your name isn't Justin Tucker, I don't want to talk about kickers. Yeah. We don't ever want to talk about kickers, but in this game, literally Jimmy got you into field goal range. And all you had to do was kick a 47 yarder to finish it. And it's over. You don't have the heroics of Ayuk, which gets me to Ayuk.
Right.
I know we're going long, but
we're good.
I'm going to die on this hill.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Ayuk is a better route runner than CeeDee Lamb. Sorry, Jason. I am sorry. But I'm going to be a homer, and I'm not much of a homer anymore. Mm-hmm. That boy Ayuk is cold as fuck, bro.
Yeah.
He's cold. And he's the only one that can beat man coverage on this team. He don't need to be schemed wide open. Mm-hmm. He cooks corners every week. All Jimmy's got to do is deliver him the ball.
Yeah.
Game-winning touchdown for Ayuk. Yeah. Okay, Gustavo. Lamb is just more explosive. Okay, I'll give you that. As a route runner, though, bro, Ayuk is cold. Cold.
me see here. How did he score from that far out?
He got 82-inch arms. Remember that?
Yeah. Love the misdirection here on the play action.
Oh, dude, it's beautiful. And are you coming behind the offensive line like that? Great play call. Great play design.
Yeah.
Man. Kyle was like, or are you guy for the game? They tell us never to reach for the pylon, but they didn't say shit after I scored a touchdown.
Right. Right.
I mean, right. No one's going to say nothing if you do your job, right? No one says, that's just any job, right? No one's going to say shit if you do your job the right way.
Right.
You can come on very nicely the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. This week, game-winning touchdown. You can tell that the Niners are trying to get their big-name guys scores. Kittle, Ayuk, Debo. They've been trying to do this. They did it in the Vikings game. Had Debo played against Seattle, I'm pretty sure. Debo gets it. Debo gets one. Like that. That's, Kyle's like, listen, I got these three studs. Let's get them points. Let's get them in the end zone. We're going to win that way.
Yeah. And in the same way that I was saying, it's pretty nice to be able to fall back on George Kittle. It's pretty nice to fall back on Brandon Ayuk as well, too. Right? Because of so much was Debo, right? And Brandon Ayuk wasn't involved early on in the season for whatever reason. And to be able to have these sort of fallback options, I mean, I think that that's a lot of sources of a lot of people's frustrations. Why can't you get all these guys involved at the same time? Why can't you get them all rolling every game? Why can't Ayuk get 5? Why can't Kittle get 5, 6? Why can't Debo get 5, 6?
Yeah.
Why? It always seems like it's one or the other, or two and not a third, or one and not a third, and not two or three. Like, I think that's a little bit of the frustration. And I think that it's a little bit overblown, because some of those are game plan specific, right? Okay. Rams game, you run the ball 40 times, keep the ball away, all those things. Jacksonville, don't really need anybody. That's different. But there's going to be games where you're going to have to score points. And you're going to have to be able to you know, keep the defense on their toes and just, you know, not fall into the trap of Debo. Debo's in the backfield. We're going to hand it off, right? So it would be really nice to get all of them in a game plan and see all of them flourish and be the – and, you know, and Ayuk almost had that second touchdown. That was a beautiful throw.
Oh, dude. As well too. Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be really nice to get all of them involved. And I think that – the 49ers have a few matchups here down the stretch where they can do that and they can play a little bit looser, right? I don't think too much of Atlanta. I don't think too much of Houston.
Of course.
You can win both of those games and clinch your playoff spot.
You should win convincingly against both of them.
Right. And you can start to do some things that maybe you aren't comfortable doing against the Rams. You aren't comfortable doing against Seattle or, you know, somebody or the Packers, right? Like you want to execute your game plan. You want to get it going. But in this time, in these soft matchups, take a shot. Try some different things, right? Like it shouldn't be – you shouldn't have to run the ball 35, 40 times to beat the Falcons.
No.
Open it up. Get guys confidence. Get Jimmy Garoppolo confidence. Get Ayuk confidence, keep it going with Kittle, and lighten the load up on Elijah Mitchell if he plays. You can still do that. You should still be able to execute at that level while working on some new things that you can put in your bag, because in the playoffs, that's not how you're going to win games. It's not, this team isn't built like 2019. You're going to have to, if you want to win a playoff game, you're going to have to score points. So
they're going to have to score points. You're going to throw the ball. And this is where that's the scary part with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? As your quarterback. Two things before we get out of here. This win, what does it say about this team and how can they build off it?
Good teams find good teams find ways to win games when things aren't perfect, when things are not going well. And it wasn't. It slowed down. How do you respond? Make enough stops and two drives at the end. You get it done. And good thing this isn't college, because the 49ers wouldn't be able to make the college football playoff because they wouldn't be ranked high enough. No, this is the NFL. Wins. Wins. Yeah. A lot of maps.
That's all that matters. And the Niners pulled it out 26-23 on Sunday in Cincinnati in overtime. It was sloppy at times. It was good at other times. This game showed you, basically, this is like the microcosm of the season in this game, right? You had these spurts of really good play, then bad play, then good play, then bad play. It was just all over the place. Second thing, Niners have four games. Atlanta, short week against Tennessee, Houston, LA. Can the Niners catch the Rams for the fifth seed? The Rams won tonight.
Yeah, they did. Probably not. So here's the thing. Sean McVay is not a really good in-game adjuster, but during the season, he always finds something to adjust to get them back on track. And what I've noticed now, and this was right around the Jacksonville game. It was right after the Green Bay game that they lost. And they did it again. I was looking for it this week. They're in heavy personnel. They've switched their personnel up. Very heavy now. A lot of tight ends. A lot of linemen. And they're running the ball. And they're running the ball out of that more. And last year, I think the switch was from a lot of 11 to 21. And they switched it. And when they switch it away and things get stale is when they start to get going. Matthew Stafford was incredible in this game tonight.
Yeah.
Was incredible in this game tonight. And I think that Henderson's going to come back. Obviously, he's on the COVID list. They have a few other players on the COVID list, but I think the Rams are just going to do enough to hold them off. The 49ers would have to win every single game going forward. And there are two games back now, right? Two games back?
Yeah, they're two games back in the loss column. So the Rams are 9-4, Niners are 7-6. Yeah. So those two, and you know what the shitty part is about those two losses, right? It's the loss to Arizona and the loss to the Colts. Mm-hmm. I can understand the loss to Green Bay. That shit happens. The loss to the Colts, that one, ugh. And then the loss to the Cardinals. Like, man.
Well, the Colt game.
You cannot,
the Colt game or the Trey game?
The Colt McCoy game is the one that pissed me off the most. Right? Because it's Colt McCoy. And then the Colts in the rain. Yeah, I understand it was raining like crazy, but you can't have the mistakes that you had in that game. That cost you seeding. These games all matter. And that, man, had they gotten those two games, they're the fifth seed right now. They are the five seed.
The Tennessee game is a Dallas
team that's banged up too.
Right. The Tennessee game is the one that worries me for the 49ers.
Is Derrick Henry coming back?
Yeah, I don't think he'll be back for that game, but I think AJ Brown will be.
Oh, great.
So, cornerback issues. And Julio's back. Baby. And Julio's back. So, that's the one that worries me. Not really too worried about Atlanta. Can't be a trap game when you're 7-6 and the team right there behind you is 6-7. It's not a trap game.
No.
That's not a trap game.
The Niners aren't good enough for it to be a trap game.
Right. You have to be 9-3 playing a 6-7 team for it to be a trap game. 7-6 and 6-7 scream two teams that are right there evenly matched or similarly stacked, even though I don't think the Falcons are that good. I don't know how the hell they got to 6-7. So it's not a trap game.
NFC South is terrible.
Yeah. It's not a trap game. You can't call that a trap game. You've got to be a 9-3 team playing a 6-7 team. It's not a trap game. It's a game you got to win. So they win that game. They beat Houston. Tennessee scares me on the road. Short game. Christmas time. And then you just got to hope that the Rams have lost the game and you're going into that game with a chance to tie them because you own the tiebreaker and you would win those 2-0. But I don't know if I see it. So I'm sorry to be pessimistic in that one.
No, you're not being pessimistic.
Why would I be worried about AJ Brown when Tannehill's the quarterback?
Tannehill's a pretty good quarterback.
All right, yeah. I mean,
yeah. I like Tannehill. I can't front. Tannehill's a decent quarterback, and he gives you a lot, but he also can – Tannehill giveth and Tannehill taketh. He's one of those guys.
He's in the same tier as your quarterback. So I could. So here's what I'll ask. Why is anybody worried about Brandon Ayuk if Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback?
That's a good question. Yeah, good question. Jamal, full disclosure, I don't trust Tannehill without Henry, but we see them on a short week. That's tough. I think more so the short week and the weather.
And right? In Tennessee.
Yeah, it's a West Coast team traveling east on a short week, and the weather, like, can, because Tennessee can get a little cold, right? Cold, wet, and nasty.
It's gonna be Christmas.
How they go. Huh?
It's gonna be Christmas.
Yeah.
It's Christmas week.
Yeah, it is Christmas week. It is Christmas week. Yeah.
Am I scared of Tannehill? No. Is anyone scared of Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah.
No.
It's the same question. It's the same tier.
It's the same thing. Like, how can you literally downplay the quarterback that is like mirror image almost of your quarterback, just with a better arm? Ridiculous.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Tannehill's been playing pretty. Tannehill has just had he's had a rough season this year. He's had a pretty rough season. But Niners have got themselves back to 500, over 500. They are in the sixth seed. Hopefully they control their own destiny to get to 10-7, 11-6. Hopefully we get these things, you know, together to finish off the season. Jason, thank you last minute for coming on. Like I said earlier in the show, I wanted to make sure we got something out because I did miss last week. My work schedule has been hectic. I've literally worked 14, 15-hour days for the last 7 or 8 days. You know how much I work, Jason. It's nuts. But shout out to everybody in the comment section for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. Make sure you are following at Residency. Make sure you're following at Fourth and Gold Podcast. If you are wanting to get into the hat giveaway, make sure you're using the hashtag TheCatch. Tag the podcast page and at Residency for your chance to win. Winners will be announced on Saturday. I will be back with Fernando tomorrow night. We're going to recap Seahawks game and the Bengals game, just so that way I owe you guys an extra podcast. You know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be in the podcast game. Jason, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure I go out with a bang on the way out. We get enough content out for y'all. But until tomorrow, I'm Javi. That is Jason. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at @JaviVeg_. Make sure you follow my guy Jason here at
JasonAponte2103.
And we'll be giving you as much content as we can. Until then, until tomorrow, everyone stay safe. Enjoy the night. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.